Two locks and a cox.
From Devon's Radio X with Exeter Chiefs.
The final game of the season is almost here. Exeter Chiefs take on Harlequins on Saturday, May the 11th. Book your tickets today at tickethub.exeterchiefs.co.uk.
Welcome to episode 36 of Two Locks and a Cox with myself, the host of the Exeter Chiefs End of Season Dinner, Chris Bentley, Ian Dunstan, the man with the plan, and the Dame of the Realm, Sarah Cox. On this week's pod, on the field, the Chiefs bow out of Europe and the Chiefs ladies lose out in the semi-final. The Red Roses march on. Taunton are one game from the great escape of local rugby. Off the field, women's balls, and in the bin, the World Cup Challenge.
Two locks and a cox.
From Devon's Radio X.
Bit different today, guys. I'm sat on my own.
You are. It's scaring me. You're driving this.
Yes. Mm. With your Allez Les Bleus top on.
Yes, I'm wearing my
Have you seen him? He's also got his weight shoes on as well.
Has he? Got weightlifting shoes on.
Weightlifting shoes.
I'm going straight to the gym to go on the rowing machine.
With weightlifting shoes on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, because they're heavy.
It's good on the rower. When you've got bad ankle flexibility, as I've had my ankle rebuilt twice.
Should you not be rowing at the moment, Ian?
My rowing instructor told me to row without shoes and row without the straps completely because it gets your technique better.
Oh, yeah. My technique is tight.
You have a rowing coach?
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah, Neil Hitt. He's one of the guys that's rowing me to Ibiza.
Yeah, I think you're supposed to be rowing everybody to Ibiza.
I know, it's fine. Never let the truth get in the way of a good story, as I like to say. All right, I've got a bone to pick with you.
Uh-oh. Me or Chris?
You, Sarah
Cox. Oh, me?
Cox.
Uh-oh. Right, here we go. I'm strapping myself in.
Cows.
Oh, yeah, let's have
the riddle.
Cows are herbivores. Therefore, your story and your riddle is all a load of rubbish because a cow would not eat a chicken.
And what did you just say? Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. So you stuff that in your pipe.
Coxie might have been applying to a different parallel dimension. I'm watching Fallout on Amazon Prime at the moment. It's really good.
I saw this advertised this morning.
It's quite good.
Go on, what is this?
The answer is 28 anyway.
Yeah, so the answer, Coxie, yeah, could you give it? Play the riddle and just say it again.
Oh, I don't know the riddle. I've
there were 48 cows, 20 ate chickens. How many didn't?
Ah, 28 chickens.
28 chickens. It's the way you say 28. 28.
Yes,
cows don't eat chickens. It's rubbish.
See, I thought you'd have been all over that. I thought you'd have proper nosed that. Because it's like a little riddle that sort of plays with your head.
It does.
Yeah.
But Chris has the concentration span of like one lap of the fishbowl. So
no, but you say this, and then he'll latch on to one subject.
He's obsessive about things, which is typical of people like Chris. They're neurodiverse.
I'm not neurodiverse, and I don't need that as a martyr stone hanging around my neck. I'm just a special human.
You are indeed, but you do get focused in and hyper focused on things.
On certain things, yeah, that's very true. But
that's good.
Yeah.
So, hang on, Ian.
How's your week been?
Doesn't matter if you're asking, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's been really good. What a great weekend as well.
Well, it was a great...
A little bit more information there, love.
Yeah, go on, a little bit
sunshine.
More information.
Sunshine.
Oh, right, yeah.
We had a lovely weather, we had lovely sunshine.
Do you know what? I mowed the lawn, I've planted some sunflowers, got a little sunflower rose garden coming in. Oh, it's all, yeah, it's ace.
Yeah, you went to... No, you didn't go to a garden centre.
I didn't go to a garden centre.
Your wife went to a garden centre.
Well, I mean, we can do that on the local rugby, but I was the cluster fixture for under-14s with my daughter, so my wife went to the supermarché.
What's a cluster fixture?
So for clubs that are struggling to get a full gambit of 15 girls together, they say, right, let's all come together in a cluster, and the coaches all meet, and they go, well, I've got 8 girls, I've got 7 or whatever. You cluster together teams, and then you play a little round-robin.
So Paignton... Withercombe and Exmouth were the girls in the ages a few years ago, yeah. And they used to all play together, coach together, and do everything else. So it's a really good way of getting three sides that can't field a whole team all playing together.
It reinforces the game of rugby union is moving at a rate, but one of the true things is the Corinthian spirit, pitch up and play, and you don't see anything like it other than these cluster fixtures where a group of girls get together. Right, we're going to work with. So we were with Tynmouth a lot.
Nice.
And then we played against the combine of about 4 different teams, and then Ivory Bridge had a complete team. We played against them as well.
We used to do that in the old days.
You're not even that old, Dame. Imagine like just turning up and playing a random group of people. Pretty much what happened at Northampton, wasn't it?
Where?
With the Bulls.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Let's just ship some boys.
No, because the thing is, and this used to
let's
be.
Let's get
like
into a, it. Go on.
This used to
go
be a bone of consternation. So when you're in European competition, you have to give a list of 41 players that are going to be eligible for your European campaign. Those were all obviously eligible players, and this is very difficult because you've obviously got your gun players, your top men, But there's 41 players, you said, will play in this competition. So you can't bring in ringers. You can't play any old... They are professional rugby players. They might not have been their first choice, but the logistics of having the South Africans in Europe means that it's impossible for them to compete on two fronts.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of feedback on that. A lot of people are a bit grumpy, especially up here, around that being, you know, you're taking the mick out of a very prestigious... competition.
Yeah, but I think it's difficult for the South African teams to the logistics. I agree. I have done it.
Yeah,
and you saw Larochelle.
I did it in 3 days.
Larochelle tried to do it. They went full gun down in South Africa, flew back, and the wheels just fell off at Leinster.
Brutal.
And what was going to happen? They go, right, we might get through that Northampton game if we send absolutely everyone, and we then might struggle in our own league. And then who are we going to face? Oh, well, it looks like Toulouse at Toulouse.
And irrespective of that, if you want me to be moralistic, we had Sam Peters in last week. He was talking about the whole workload on players. You've got to look after your players. They're professional sports people. You can't demand that they fly long haul, 18-hour transfer, play a game of rugby and then long haul back and play against another team that have been sat in wait for a week to batter them to bits.
I used to do that as a referee though.
But you're not having contacts, you're not having collisions.
You're not
binding down in a scrum with 2 tons of pressure through your neck.
And this is
the situation. This is where the look. I'm reading Sam's book now, so
let
me tell you, I'm on to page 226 already.
Hang on. 1 second. Can we have Chris back, please?
No, this is Chris.
This guy's a bit boring.
We know this. We know that this is Chris.
But this is the whole thing. I know. Right? This is the whole thing. Is you go, well, it is a bit boring. Well, this is where we have to, and I'm talking about the Corinthian spirit. What do we want? Do we want to say, well, rugby is just pure entertainment, crack on, and if so, then these boys have got to get on a plane, they've got to play and get their heads kicked in. So
be it. Gladiators in Colosseums with tigers coming out of hatches chains on them in the middle of the field.
Let's just go somewhere real quickly. Gladiators in... Did anybody see the UFC? That Max Holloway and Justin Gaethje.
Yeah.
Holy guaco. Can I set the scene for you, Coxie?
Yeah, please
It's
do.
The BMF belt, baddest mother.
Mother fluffer.
So they're fighting. They've had five-minute rounds, knocking 7 bells out of each other. They've got 10 seconds left. The boy, Max Holloway, is winning. He signals to Gaethje, get in the middle of the ring. They go to the middle of the ring and just start swinging hard out. Because it was... And Holloway knocks him out cold with a second left in the fight. And in his post-match interviews, mate, he went nose to nose with me. We've had a fight. I wanted to give him the opportunity in the last 10 seconds. If he could knock me out, he'd win it anyway. And I got him.
Amazing. Amazing.
But that's an unrepentant sport that's going, do you know what? This is what we're going to do.
Well, the first round was brutal. He looked just completely out of it. And then he was always ahead, but
If you like combat of any variety, just Google it. You'll see Holloway Gaethje. Wow. The last 10 seconds of that fight is unbelievable.
UFC is one of the only sports I actually go and look and watch on catch up and stuff like that. Even like Formula One, I used to love. MotoGP, not quite so much. UFC has just got something raw about it.
It's unrepentant. Yeah. Union, we're still battling with our identity. But back to the plot. So yes. The Bulls. So do we want to talk about the Bulls or Northampton?
Let's do that. Let's get rid of them. So Northampton won that one, didn't they?
Northampton looking lively.
Yeah, they did look very good. But against who? But they did well in France to get to that game anyway. So.
Yeah, and then Harlequins doing Harlequins things at Bordeaux.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
they'll probably lose by 50 points this week.
Yes.
Unreal, though.
Genuinely.
Bordeaux absolutely humperdink Saracens the week before.
And the week before that, Saracens absolutely humperdink Harlequins.
Yeah.
And then Harlequins.
What is happening?
It just shows, doesn't it, that the league, these games are all tight against each other. Home advantage, I mean, in this fixture is absolutely everything, but wasn't. So, you know, I think Statman did one last week. This thing out of 32 have been home wins.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is this the later stages of Europe? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Going through it. So, you know, that's just it, isn't it? Let's go. Come on. We've got to do it.
Chiefs?
Yeah.
Well, no, do you know what? I'm honest. So, think of a film that has been made and then it's been remade almost identical. 20 years later, the Exeter Chiefs are almost that.
The Italian Job.
Well, there you go. So if there was a film...
Good example. Right,
so Exeter Chiefs went to Claremont 14 years ago or 13 years ago and got absolutely spanked. And then 3 years later, Claremont came to Chiefs
And Mitch Lee scored a try to put the icing on the cake with a bonus point win, and they exercised the demon. And it was a group of guys, and Rob was like, it's our first time at this level. We're learning lessons. We're moving on. It's almost identikit. Mm. It's a whole new group of guys. They've gone to European aristocracy because Clermont were the team at the time. Now it's Toulouse. They've fought valiantly. Everybody's on. Yeah, you've got to be proud of that. But then they've fallen over at the last hurdle. You know, the last 20 minutes was a bit embarrassing. But Baxter's come away and go, well, I've had worse. The lads have all learned.
They hung on, like, to be fair, the last 20 minutes was tough. It's hot down there at the moment.
Yeah.
And they hung on. And I thought, fair play to them. Like, to get. Did you see some of the ages of the players that are in there? So they posted about it.
10 players were under 23.
Under 23.
And there, Statman does it. I think there are five that were in the double winning team. That's it.
Yep.
And actually, only really three of those.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So in that way, it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And to be that score at half time.
No, but I think it's reasons to be cheerful.
And it is.
All the conversations I've had at the beginning of the season, and I'm as one-eyed Chief supporter as you can get, it's like, do you know what? It's going to be a tough year. And there was massive expectation management from all of the coaches and all of the rhetoric coming out of the club. It's going to be a tough year, young team. They've far beyond expectation for all of us. They've gone amazingly. And they bloody Toulouse's nose for 40 minutes. You know, we're winning.
Yeah, the half-time chat must have been really interesting. You're not the most one-eyed player that would go again, supporter that would go down to Will Smith.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, because he has actually got one eye.
Yeah, okay. Gosh, yeah. I remember
that. So for me, tough one. One thing I would like to address is the furore on social media with Jack Yendall. There's an image of him, he slips over, he puts his hand on a bloke's face, and everyone's like, ban him for life. And I was like, no.
Yeah, well.
I've not seen this.
But that's journalists looking for...
is it, though?
It's journalists looking for clicks, and it's a tiny snapshot of something, so you don't see what happens directly after that or whatever else.
No, but that's the point I made. It was Simon Norris who first came in, the Chiefs old video man, who came in defence of Jens.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did exactly the same thing. And also, when you look at the clip, it stops the moment Jens puts his hand on this bloke's face, and it was like, oi... He could be in hot water. It's like, well, no. Hang on, I'm lonely.
It's the classic angle that that things go on, isn't it? That there's a picture of Prince William and it's taken from the side and it looks like he's got his... he's doing a hand gesture that's not very nice.
Yeah.
And then they show exactly the same picture from the front and he's actually just got his hand up waving.
Yeah.
And that's the same with that. It's a tiny clip taken out of context. Yeah,
some of the comments
he's not going to be gouging. He's just taking this weight and whatever else, and off it goes.
Yeah. Okay. So move on from that.
It's this X pool of just minuteness, isn't it? Of a few people.
It's angry people, though.
Oh, really, really angry.
And there's nothing more dangerous than someone who knows they're right. And there's a lot of people that know they're right on social media.
And also with it, of course, it then just the algorithms within it just steer more of that stuff towards you.
Yeah, okay,
so you just end up in this even bigger negative
hole.
Oh, yeah, you do, genuinely.
Don't ever go looking at referee comments then, Christ. You never come out of that.
Right, okay.
Well, of course, this week we've had Wayne Barnes has gone, that the first person, he's actually said, look, the first person in Australia's been prosecuted, which we spoke about last week and how happy he is for that. I actually asked him, and he's not replied yet, which is, how does he feel about New Zealand? Because New Zealand police have decided not to carry on with any of the prosecutions.
Really?
So Australia have
how
gone after
them. How do you
know
that?
It was on one of the news channels, BBC News or New Zealand Herald News, or one of the actual proper news channels, as opposed to like Rugby Dump or one of the South African, let's just make people angry ones that do all the other things.
Mm. South Africans are quite angry with their social media.
They're very sure they are, yeah, very much so.
But then that Chasing the Sun, I'm hearing snippets from that, and it just sounds very aggressive.
Yeah.
It looks like it's been filmed very, very well, though.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like an unbelievable... I've seen little snapshots of it. It looks unbelievable. Like, just to have that eye in the camp of the World Cup champions.
I mean, everyone says we need to give more access. I quite like the mystique. I quite like actually not knowing. And then we can speculate. It makes it more fun.
Yeah, but you're the old fart. Of rugby, unfortunately.
I'm not the old fart, Coxie. Honestly, I was. Well, speaking of old farts, I was at the game for South Molton versus Perrenporth in the Papa John's.
Have you been coaching?
The Papa John's Shield. Perrenporth turned up. Their touch judge, they volunteered, wore full suit and tie. Fantastic.
Wow. They used to do that in rugby.
Oh, mate,
you used to wear suit top.
Back in the day, when I was at New Brighton as a 17-year-old, we had Joe Pinnington used to wear his cricket jumper, tie, collared shirt, long shorts, high knee socks.
That's it, yeah.
And he'd run the touch in any weather.
Unbelievable.
How was the pitch? Because it was...
So the pitch... one of the boys brought his tractor on. South Moulton is amazing. It is an agricultural team, so all the boys are either shooting animals or farming.
I know, I've played against them many times.
So basically the car park's just full of Land Rover Defenders and what have you, and Toyota Hiluxes. Well, one of the boys decided he'd get his tractor and try and rake the pitch, but the tractor got in the middle of the pitch, got stuck, so it looks like someone's just done a massive donut on the first team pitch at South Moulton, so that's no good.
Oh no.
Bottom pitch was too heavy waterlogged. We had to go and play at South Moulton Community College. Right up on the top. So lovely, shirt sleeves first half, and then a squall blew in second half. I nearly died of hypothermia. Well,
do you know what? South Moulton, and Okehampton's exactly the same. They can have different seasons at different parts of the pitch. You're down one end, it's summer. You're in the middle, it's autumn. Then you get down like your end, the other end, it's like winter. You're like, what is going on?
Just on Okehampton, our mate Richard Bolt has finally retired.
Oh, yeah, like Ricky Boaty, what a guy.
He has finally retired. So bless him.
If you are in the Okehampton region and you want some personal training, Richard Bolt is the man for you.
He is the legend that is. Yeah, he's finally let go.
Bolty had one hell of a pass. I think because he was in like a super England 18s, 20s, wasn't he? He played with loads of guys that went on and did a hell of a lot.
Yeah, he went. He played at Harlequins, Chiefs.
Rouen in France.
Yeah.
Just terrible chat.
Oh, another Exeter Chiefs that's on the road again. You thought it was all done. Josh Matavesi has just gone and signed for NTT again in Japan.
No.
Shut up. Really?
So yeah. Camborne.
He's gone from Camborne and back out to Japan. second division of the top league. So.
Unbelievable.
Please tell me he's now a prop.
Man is not training while he's out
he's
there.
He's one of them guys, isn't he? He's one of the guys that he's got to own it. He can't be embarrassed. So a few years' time, he must have been a good tight end prop. No, mate, I was a centre.
He's crash so
ball,
good.
Crash ball specialist, so wasn't he?
The width of his hips must be about 48 inches now.
Yeah.
He is a big man. Yeah, but anyway.
Classic.
Look, we were talking to the mighty tweets, wasn't it? That Fijian, eating and what they enjoy. And
We thought Matt Avesi had enjoyed his retirement, but he's got one more year.
He's got one more.
Of course he's got one more year. What a legend.
So clearing off Chiefs, that's done.
Clearing off Chiefs.
Really proud of where they've done in this competition. Yes. It's all over now.
So Northampton to Toulouse and Harlequins to Leinster.
Yeah.
Is it going to be the two home teams into the final?
Yeah, it's a Leinster-Toulouse final, isn't it? With Toulouse taking it.
The one thing I will say is I think that for the neutral, I'll have no skin in anything. I really enjoy watching those games because it's teams that go out with flashing blades and go, well, Leinster's possibly a bit more structured, but the other three are, let's chuck it about and see what happens.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to all of them.
Yeah.
And Leinster target this competition. They love winning it, don't they?
Oh, yeah, and they've just signed Geordie Barrett to go with RG Simon. The Harlem Globetrotters of rugby.
How does that work? Because budget-wise, surely those two have got to be very expensive.
You would think so. Well, Geordie Barrett will have probably gone for the experience because he's only on a 6-month contract.
Yeah, I was going to say, because it's not very long, is it? And no, it's so out of their season, isn't it?
It's a New Zealand sabbatical. So
6 months there, and then hop over to Japan or hop into France.
Because Bowden has gone to Japan, hasn't he?
Yep.
Which, I don't know whether that's a link with Adidas and gone over there, because they're...
I think it's more
it's like a link with his wallet.
It's a link with his wallet. And I was
trying to be polite.
It's easier to do that.
Because
the New Zealand season is
a lot
smaller
shorter.
Season.
Yeah.
Played three seasons in New Zealand, you are like, is that it?
Hey, Chris, I'm looking across the desk at you, and you're listening to Two Cocks and a Lox
on Devon's Radio X. Yeah, sorry, that's for
wrong way.
We'll do is we'll take a break now to hear from our sponsors.
Two Locks and a Cocks
from Devon's Radio X. With Exeter Chiefs.
The final game of the season is almost here. Exeter Chiefs take on Harlequins on Saturday, May the 11th. Book your tickets today at tickethub.exeterchiefs.co.uk.
Hey Dave, we had a busy, packed weekend of rugby, with some of it being on ITV, some of it being on YouTube, some of it being on TNT, but should we start off with the women's game at the Stonex?
Yeah, as we've said before, it's there's a Stonex curse that seems to be affecting both Chiefs teams at the moment. And the women have never won there, and they still haven't won there. So I think that's probably the best way to cancel it. That was a 7-point defeat, though, which equals their best result at the Stonex. So, you know, it could have been worse. It's normally
and probably
30.
The most, probably the most number of yellow cards given out in a game for a very long time.
Yeah, I haven't got the stat on that, but yeah, it seemed a lot of yellow cards. You know, it keeps the referee busy, doesn't it? It gives him something to do, I suppose. So
he certainly kept very busy. I watched it on YouTube. So yeah, that's good. And then onto the men's game, we had the trip, the long flight down for the boys in what's a quick turnaround. We ready for the Berth game, but the Toulouse game was interesting.
Yeah, it was a bit interesting, wasn't it, really? It's the highest number of points Chiefs have conceded since joining the Premiership in 2010. So let's get that one out of the way. It's not their biggest defeat, though, because actually Chiefs scored 26 points, which is more points than they got at Leicester last year, which was the previous highest, when Leicester got 62. I think it's really important with the Chiefs this season to just remember where we've come from with this team. So in yesterday's squad, there were four players who played in the double winning season who were key players in that season. Yendall, Woodburn, Slade and Devoto. I know Marcus Street, Richard Capstick, etc. were around that year, but didn't feature in the Champions Cup that year and weren't really first team players, if you like. However, Champions Cup debuts this year, we've seen at four Chiefs. In yesterday's side alone, Tuima, Faiwaboso, Wimbush, Southworth, Hayden Wood, and Greg Fisselau had only played 5 minutes last season. So that's six players, that basically have started their Champions Cup career this season. Daf Jenkins was, I think, our fifth most experienced player in the Champions Cup.
They went and they did a cracking job for the first half until the mighty French team engaged turbo mode.
Yeah, until Dupont remembered that he's the best player in the world, really. Up until that point, I think we've done quite a good job of confusing him. Couple of little weird stats that just come out of yesterday. One is that I'd imagine Ciarán Painter and Ross Vincent were probably sat quite smug on the plane home. They played 43 minutes, in which at which point the score was 19-17 to Chiefs. They leave the field, it all falls apart. So I'm not sure that that's a causation correlation thing, though.
They'll listen to your stats they'll remind all the rest of the boys of that next week. So
yeah, if they haven't already. One weird stat that sort of emerged this season is Henry Slade's kicking. He averages 69% kicking success in wins. In defeats, though, it's 80%.
Wow.
I think that's largely because he missed a load against Saracens when we were racking up a massive score against them.
And also we win at home a lot with horrible wins.
Where it's harder to kick. So I think basically if it matters, he's going to slot it. If it doesn't, he may not. And just sort of looking forward to Bath as well this weekend. Again, I'm not going to go into much on the Bath stuff because we did a lot about it just 2 weeks ago, the last time we played Bath. But it is just worth noting that Bath still haven't won at Sandy Park since 2016, 12 successive defeats. So hopefully we can make it 13 at the weekend. And just to sort of extend a bit with the debuts and things, we're getting towards the end of the season now. So it's kind of looking at what the season has been, I suppose. 38 players so far have featured for Chiefs in the Champions Cup or the Premiership, which is quite a lot. Of those, 22 have scored tries. So we're running out of opportunities for some of the guys to get off the mark, as it were. Jack Yendall still hasn't scored a try. Tom Cairn still hasn't scored a try. Lewis Pearson still hasn't scored a try. And neither's Ollie Devoto. So of the ones that are featured on Saturday, they're the main ones that still haven't scored. And then just sort of wider, again, talking about debuts earlier. So far this season, we've basically had 15 players feature regularly-ish or start games for the first time in the Premiership. So that's an entire new team of Premiership players. So that does include Danny Southworth and Max Norrie, who still haven't started a Premiership game. So they still haven't made one, but yeah, that's 15. That compares to 12 players, by my reckoning, that have played more than 50 games. Just shows where we are.
Yeah. that really does show that that experience, isn't it? And I think we'll be talking, you know, as people were here in the main part of the pod, is this this inexperienced side who delivered so much. And you can see that from there, and hearing that 22 out of 38 players have scored tries is phenomenal, and shows the sort of, you know, the whole breadth and depth of the squad and the gameplay.
Yeah, completely, completely. And like I say, just that we've got six centurions in the whole squad, by my reckoning, it is mad.
Yeah.
Compared to how many left last season.
Yeah, exactly that. Mate, that's amazing. Thank you so much for your time. And we'll look forward to next week of being able to keep the stat going for 13, unlucky for Bath and lucky for us still. So we're back into the Premiership action now with just the final few games before, to sort of cement that top four position, which is so tight.
Yeah, I personally hope that Bath stat continues, because every time Stuart Barnes comes down, he always asks when was the last time, and I love giving him the same answer. It was blooming ages ago. So.
2016, what a wonderful year. What a year, a great streak started. Thanks, Dave. We'll catch up next week.
Two Locks and a Cox.
From Devon's Radio X with Exeter Chiefs.
The final game of the season is almost here. Exeter Chiefs take on Harlequins on Saturday, May the 11th. Book your tickets today at tickethub.exeterchiefs.co.uk.
And that was a great message from our sponsors. And now on to the next point of On the Field, the Women's Six Nations. Is anybody going to stop England winning a Grand Slam? Sarah
no.
Cox.
Oh, sorry, oh, I'm not called Sarah Cox.
Well, that was directed at me.
Sorry, Sarah Cox.
Yeah, I don't know. France, maybe.
Wait, it's England-France, isn't it? Where is the game? Where is that game? Is it in France or in England?
Oh,
I'm going to say it's in France because my daughter's
going
to
It's in Bordeaux.
Because my daughter's going to watch England-Ireland at Twickenham this weekend.
They've sold 45,000 tickets.
Mm.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
That is very cool.
Yeah,
yeah. England were just on a flyer, weren't they? And that's great. And friend of the show and been on the show, Clee, back in Ireland,
back in
the camp, got 28 minutes. I think she came on in the 52nd minute.
Instagram and what have you, the redemptive arc, having criticised the powers that be, and now she's found her way back in.
Yeah, and Claudia wearing Ireland stash.
Yeah, like, if you're in the Red Roses camp, you're going, hang on.
I know you're injured, but that's like, oh, okay, it's fine.
Yeah.
You got. I love support. It's so talking to people. I was in the standoff on Friday night, and there were some guys in the Plymouth Argyle were playing, and they were watching the game. And I was like, "They said, we've got to keep it quiet. We're Argyle. We're in Exeter. It's like it's a Devon team. We're Exeter playing tonight. No. Well, there we go. Let's support Plymouth then. Mm-hmm. I don't quite get this.
You're in a rugby pub.
This
don't worry about it.
Between it. It's like, is there a game on? Yeah, cool. Let's just support.
Let's just watch it.
Are we going to support? There's a Devon team. Cool. Let's support them.
Yeah. Mm. No, different in football world.
Rugby union will change. Rugby union changes. As the game goes more professional, mark my words, the tribalism will become
more
greater and greater.
More professional? How is it going to go more
through
professional?
Through time, with the fundamentalisation of the support base. If you look at football, you cannot have supporters in the same stand together because they're so angry with each other. You're looking at some of the things that are taking place on social media now and the tribalism that's starting to generate through multi-generational support of teams. So
God,
my granddad supported them, my dad supported them, and
all
I
right.
support them.
Oh God, I wish Brad's not here, by the way.
And
Chris
the
is driving
higher.
The desk. And this is where I like Brad, because I can say fade Chris down because he's ranting. Those people that rant on social media will not do it to your face. They'll do it when they're sat behind a keyboard and they're all Billy big boys. When they're next to you like that, they're just normal people because they have their own identity.
That's what they said about football 50 years ago.
Because they wear Stone Island and put tattoos on their face.
Okay. Right, let's move on from this.
We'll move on from
Women's
that.
Six Nations.
Women's Six Nations.
Let's stay on track, team.
Okay.
Some good games, isn't it? Some good games. I was out in Ireland.
Maggie Alfonsi made a point that there needs to be better competition for the Roses. Although I still maintain the Wales game, first 20 minutes, Wales were all over them. As the other teams embrace more professionalism, and there's the £3 million that's being handed out by the British and Irish Lions to support further professionalisation of the other unions... They're going to get back.
Which is what we wanted, wasn't it? We didn't want England with a few token other players.
The British and Irish Lions, a.k.a. England.
Yes.
Yes, yeah, there's a big discussion point about that. But yeah, no, definitely. The competition is going well, and there's some good movement as well. There is a fight for third place, which gets you into WXV1, which automatically qualifies you into the World Cup, I believe. So there's a bit of a fight to get into that.
Right, okay.
Then who goes into WXV2, which then if you win that, you get into the World Cup. And then in WXV3, how that works is, I believe, and I could be wrong on this, but you've then got to qualify for the World Cup some other way and through a back door in some respects. So there's a lot on this Six Nations, a lot on it, for those top three places, and probably third is the most important, which sounds really paradoxical, but first and second, you're okay. And if you're in WXV1 and you finish, I believe, 1-4, you're automatically qualified into the World Cup. So you're safe. Safe as houses.
Oh, it's so confusing to keep hold of all these things. And I tell you what else is, isn't it? I tell you what else is confusing, of course, while we were watching the Six Nations on Saturday, I watched a game on YouTube, which was the Chiefs women at the Stonex.
Oh, yeah. Jodie Owsley, one hell of a comeback.
Yeah.
Woman of the match.
Yeah. What a bizarre game to watch. Well,
go on, 7 then. Yellow cards.
talk me through it, Ian, because as I say, I was watching South Molton.
The game kicks off, and
good start, Ian.
Well, I'm bearing in mind I've got a referee sat next to me, and obviously trying to promote the referees and say that things are there. But there was a whole first half of every single penalty going against Exeter, like they just really, really annoyed this referee. Now they got technical warnings for not rolling away. The girls weren't getting out as fast as they could, but the ball was playable pretty much every single time, so they weren't trapping the ball in, but he got it into his head, so he gave the first one for those. Next time came round, almost 13 seconds later, I think it was, the Saracens player at the back took herself off her feet to dive for the line, and it looked like second row for Chiefs had sacked it and done that. So instead of just giving the try that was there, he gave a penalty try and a yellow card, which is what you have to do if you see that as the offence.
Yeah, if you sack them all.
And then Saracens, a few minutes later, broke through and...
A line break through.
And then just on or outside the 22, the Chiefs player caught up with her and just killed the ball slightly for that. It was a penalty. It wasn't right in the danger zone, but of course he'd done two already. He was fed up with him, whatever else. Out comes another yellow card. So we've got three...
We've got a whole wheel of cheese going on here, aren't we?
We've got a whole wheel of cheese. We've got three in the bin at the same time. they get through and, you know, to be fair, they do really well to go in at half-time, the score they did. Second half comes out and it's genuinely... completely reversed, and he gives four yellow cards against Saracens through it for technical offences and things like that.
Yeah.
Which I guess was keeping up the consistency.
Four yellow cards at the same time?
No,
spread across.
I think they had two in the bin at one time. But yeah, he's keeping up the consistency of what he was penalising for. Then everything went the other way. So, you know, the girls came back and the score was, I think, the closest that they've had there, and it was an interesting game to watch.
I did a question for you both as players. Yeah. When you get sort of those technical yellow cards and you get these warnings from referees saying, right, you know, there's an accumulation of penalties coming here, do you stand in your huddles and say, right, take your foot off the gas here, let's tidy this up and let's sort of see out the warning?
So how it goes is having captain teams is the referee will say, look, you know, too many penalties now, have a word. And you get the team in, you go, right, lads, you know, blue thinking, let's ice in the top 2 inches, ref's looking for it, calm down. Next breakdown, your number seven invariably will go, what did we just say?
Yeah, right.
As you get simmed in.
Right.
So you're trying to communicate to 15 different people who all 14 different people who all communicate on different methods. Some need to see, some need to do, some need to be told, blah, blah, blah. And you've got like 12 seconds and you're knackered. So the communication makes perfect sense in your head, what you're trying to convey to them. And they're professionals, you're together, and then two or three will just completely go off what you've told them.
Did you know when you're bending down and you're in a ruck and you've got your hands on the ball and both of them are there lifting it, you go deaf?
Yep.
What?
You go deaf.
Is this selective hearing?
You think you're going to lift the ball up. You know you were the first man in there. You've got both hands on the ball and you're lifting that ball. You go deaf because there's a referee shouting at you going, let go. And you do not hear them because you know in your mind. Well, now, there's lots of other noise.
It's your teammates as well. And I've also been one that's just lost my head. I can take you back to a game against Plymouth a long time ago, and they had a maul that we couldn't stop. So I just ran around the back of it and tackled it.
Yeah, I remember that.
And in my
right in that corner, that bottom left-hand corner. Yeah. I remember you doing that.
And in the review, Rob said you should have let them score the pushover
because
they'd have had to kick the conversion from the corner rather than right in front of the post from the penalty try you gave away.
Yeah.
And again, you're just thinking death before dishonour. I'm not letting them push me over.
Yeah.
Even though the captain said we've just got to take our medicine here because their maul is better than our maul defence.
Done that at Barnstable. That. You know, that really horrible, annoying thing. I think Gloucester started it unopposed at the line-out. So they go up, you bring the ball down, and you go to present the ball. And because they haven't engaged with you at all, there's no offside. Someone runs around and take the ball.
Yeah.
So they did it to us twice. The third time, I gave the bloke the ball and then gave him the good news.
Mm.
Right. I had no other way of actually sorting it out because I said, just grab hold of one of them.
Yeah.
Then he can't come round. Prop didn't do it again. Yeah. It was like that. Cheers, Andy Lendon. Yeah. The third time, gave him the good news. Yeah, I had 10-minute rest for that.
I had one, talking about giving balls to people. I had one at the, it was in a ruck, and I shout at the guy, let go. And he's got hold of the ball in his hand and he goes, ooh, and puts the ball back. Leans back over the ruck and is like, sorry about that, and puts the ball back down.
The juniors do that all the time. Yeah. I'm like, let it come back blue side. And then all of a sudden the ball comes back to the blue side.
Yeah.
And you're sorry.
Yeah.
You're like, play on. Yes, you could give a penalty. I mean, if it was a cup game or something different, but it's a good be blah. The ball's come back the right side. We've had the right outcome. Let's just play on.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
So that's the Chiefs, the women. Stonex still remains a very hard place for them to go. They've not won there yet.
But there's a third place playoff.
It was the closest game.
I've never seen a third place playoff in a sort of domestic competition. See it in World Cups, but they've now got to play the third place playoff.
I guess it's to
get some more rugby for them, game time. And also, if it happens when the Six Nations is on, I'm all up for it because it's a good time for these other players to get the game time.
Okay. Yeah, it's managing that time, isn't it, as well? Like, there's a lot of internationals out at the moment.
There are, yeah. So we say, isn't it, that the Chiefs' sort of second team used to have loads of fixtures and loads of plays, and these fringe guys haven't much, so they get lent out, or they just don't play a lot of rugby.
Mm-hmm.
You see that Frankie Knoll, talking of that, Frankie Knoll's gone down to Australia.
Yeah.
From Pirates.
Yeah.
And they just let him go. Cool, yeah, go well, and have fun.
They're
down
just
there.
Starting their season, whereas national championships wrapping
just
up.
Just finishing off, yeah.
It sort of makes sense. I left early when I first went out to New Zealand as a youngster. If you can finish early, you arrive at the beginning of the season rather than arrive three or four games in.
So it makes
a lot of sense, especially if you sort of for Pirates, there's not much left for them to play for. I mean, they can win games, but they can't win the league.
No,
yeah, because it's Ealing, isn't it? Yeah. You see, Chinna's coming up.
Yeah,
Chinna
Nick Easter's Chinna.
Yeah.
He did his routine, there's only one bar. Boo, it's my bar.
Interesting, their head coach is the Ealing starting nine. Now Chinna have come into championship.
Yeah.
What happens now?
Oh, that's
because it's interesting, isn't it? Because like a player out on loan in the same league, you just don't play those games.
Yep.
But you still got insider knowledge. How does that work with a coach? Because I feel that's an even bigger conflict of interest.
I would imagine that the move for him will be player coach at Chinna.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I would imagine.
Hey, Chris, how long's that bar? Is it a mile?
Pardon? Yeah. There's only one
that's
bar.
Doncaster.
Ooh, it's a mile long. They built a fence around the bar. Ooh, it's 1 foot high. Sorry, it's a silly drinking game.
Well,
it's not a drinking game. It's just the thing you do.
There's only one barmaid.
Easter was very good at it.
For every two people.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you not heard it?
No.
Oh, Chris does it all the time. No, Chris, I've never heard it before. No. It's original.
Don't.
Chris didn't copy.
Easter was the original in my eyes of it.
Oh,
and he did it with Chinna. And congratulations to Chinna. They won National 1. But at the bottom of National 1, Taunton Titans.
From the jaws of defeat.
Yes. So
they only went and won.
Let's just look at it. So Cinderford are bottom of the log on 46 points. Taunton are on 48, Leicester are on 50, and Bishop Stortford on 51. The amazing thing is, Cinderford are at home to Bishop Stortford, knowing a win is the only way they've got a chance of staying up, and it needs to be a bonus point win. And then if I zap it forward, who else? So Taunton have got to go away to Blackheath,
and Leicester
are away to Sale FC. So if Taunton win the game, it could well be in their hands to stay up. The great escape.
That's hell of an National escape with Blackheath at the moment. Because where are they in the table?
Blackheath are flying, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely flying. At home as well.
Well, I don't know.
Never
don't
say know. Never. Just Blackheath. Remember.
No, Blackheath are mid-table. They won 12, Taunton have won 7, so it's not...
Just remember, look at the two teams, yeah? Chiefs and Toulouse, we're unequal. We've played them twice. They've won once, we've won once.
Yeah.
I think your better example is the Bordeaux Harlequins. Just going to say.
No, I like that. So that's local rugby. I'm really enjoying my little foray with South Molton. I'm doing just a sort of bit of a... Just adding a few words and bits and bobs with them. Ben Gatehouse is the coach there. They're now playing Old Elizabethans up in Bristol this weekend. Unfortunately, I can't go because I'm at Sandy Park to watch Chiefs vanquish Bath.
Yeah, so shall we talk about the Bath game?
What, Chiefs v Bath? Well, they've announced that both...
They haven't announced it officially. Bath haven't. Oh. So they've said that potential
Cameron
long-term
Redpath,
injuries longer-term injuries to Cameron Redpath and
Finn Russell. Which does severely dent Bath coming against Exeter Chiefs.
They're still dangerous, but the Chiefs
young guns, I just think, don't care.
No.
They're just going to go, well...
Are they going to be a little bit beaten up from the weekend before, though?
Well, I think Rob's going to have... Lewis Pearson comes back in the second row. Yeah, okay. Rusko, you know,
Wimbush starts, yeah. And Diva goes on the bench.
So on and so forth. I think
do you know how big our centres are?
Massive.
Are they ever?
Exeter Chiefs centres.
Because Devo is a big old... He's 6'4", isn't he?
Yes.
And Wimbush is taller again. I think he's your height, 6'6", isn't he?
Yeah, all frustrated second rows, obviously.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
That's what you
want
to think.
Well, they just weren't tough enough to play in the row, but...
They were everything you wanted to be.
Yes,
okay, fine.
Let's face it, come on.
Coxie, don't say that.
Hang on. We've got
secrets.
Feelings.
I've never had any dreams of being anywhere outside the second row.
No.
No, because you couldn't run fast enough. Yeah.
So Chiefs v Bath in a massive game for the Exeter Chiefs. Realistically, we need the win for that one to stay in the mix for the top four, but also to stay very strong in the top part of the table for European qualification.
We're back into the Prem, aren't we? So we're back into Prem rugby. And this is what it is with all these competitions, with following women's rugby and following all the other things. Like, oh, what's going on now?
No, what's really weird is Exeter play Bath in EPCR and then come back and play Bath in Premiership. I think is confusing.
Can you get it right, please? So Exeter beat Bath at Sandy Park in the EPCR. Yeah.
Look at his eyebrows going. Mm.
No, it is something of
a bit strange.
But this, I mean, it's rugby scheduling is very difficult.
Yeah.
This is a perennial problem. We speak about it a lot of the time. Exactly the same with the women's game. You know, you've got the Allianz Cup at the moment. You've got a third, fourth playoff going on at the same time as the Red Roses. And it's great for the girls actually playing that they get game time. But to communicate in the whole, in parentheses, grow the game rhetoric, it's very difficult for people to understand what's taking place.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a bit of a sticking point. From what I've heard, is people are just so confused. And then same with the European stuff in URC. I can't remember which team it is, but there's one that goes down to South Africa for EPCR and then stays there for 3 weeks because they play EPCR to URC games and then come back. Also, talking of which, the Hollywood Bets Sharks,
yes,
their home ground will be Twickenham Stoop Did you not know this?
Go on.
So let me just...
Rumour has it that they listened to Two Locks and a Cox on Devon's Radio X.
It's almost like we have to put these sponsor messages out,
isn't
it?
What's he doing? You like it. That's your feeling of control, isn't it?
Not at all.
So the semi-finals, yeah. Hollywood Bets Sharks play Clermont.
Right.
And
Who do they play?
Clermont.
Clermont.
Clermont. Is that correct?
Clermont.
No, there's no T on the end. It's Clermont. Clermont. You know that. at Twickenham Stoop.
Right.
Did you not look? He's playing on his phone now.
No, not.
That's it. We've lost him.
No,
he's playing on his phone.
Stop it. They're playing at Twickenham Stoop. No, I was just... Look, while we're going a bit chaotic, I just wanted to give a quick shout out.
We are going chaotic.
We're
at the business end of the season, and Sidmouth Colts topped their league this season, but now have their arch nemesis, Ivy Bridge, in the playoff final on Sunday the 21st, 3 p.m. at Newton Abbott. So big shout out to Henry Sanford and their coaches, Stu Cavan, Ben Marsh, Glenn Channing, Ray Hennessy, Phil Grove, and the captain, Ollie Marsh.
Glenn Channing.
I've played a lot of games with Glenn Channing, and he's Devon's answer to Andy Goode.
He's Devon's
answer. And he wore gloves for a while as well, and he was messaging me the other day about various things.
It's the same shape as well.
It's quite involved. involved with, well, that's what I mean. Yeah, he's quite involved with Devon. And yeah, actually, he asked for your number, Chris. And I gave him your number.
No, I took a call, but I was on a Zoom call. I had to go and jump back on, and I need to speak to him. So
that's cool. And while we do that, and we talk about some of the local stuff there, then it's all over the place because Topsham, who've beaten Crediton and done everything, lost to them in the first leg of the cup. So it's two leg cup. So they've now got to go to Crediton and.
What cup is that?
Devon Cup.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so
is it two-legged now?
Yeah, yeah. So
I'm a Devon Cup winner.
You are indeed. For Exmouth.
Yeah.
Yay. And Exmouth lost to Brixham, having beaten Brixham twice in the normal season.
Right.
They've now got to go to Brixham and score the extra points. I can't remember who Sidmouth were playing, but they're right up there as well. But it was just weird that these teams that have beaten other teams in the normal season, in the cup competition, everything slightly changes.
Well, towards the end of the season, lads' focus can drift. You can find, I certainly found it my time at Exmouth.
You're tired.
Yeah, lads. It's really a long,
tired.
Old season.
It's a long season.
It is a very long season in club rugby.
It's long for club, and then it's even longer for professional. June?
Is it June? Crikey. I'll be in Prague playing for the old Hams Vet tournament in June.
I was tempted on Saturday. I was watching Moulton players. I could probably do a job here.
No, you couldn't. I'm telling you
He could definitely do a job because South Moulton play in Exmouth 2s, and I think this season Exmouth beat them twice. Last season, I think they got one each or maybe both. And
no, I made the decision. No, and I'm retired. So moving on.
This is chaos. This is chaos.
Women's size 4.5 rugby balls. Maggie Alfonsi's come out very strong. She thinks it's terrible. Catherine Spencer, former England captain, said it's terrible. That it's going to demean women in the eyes of the. Casual supporter that they play on the same size pitch, they should play with the same size balls.
Can we just on that, to caveat that, so women's basketball plays with a smaller ball, women's tennis plays shorter competition time, women's golf has a women's tee, but it's the same golf course, same size ball, same, well, and the clubs are different as well.
Yes,
is this really an issue?
I find it very difficult to comment as a middle-aged, white, middle-class male and not being called a bigot or whatever else that I am with things. But I don't see why these women get really upset by it if, in trials and shown, it makes a better game that's faster. Because the women's game, the collisions aren't as big as the men's game. They do look for space. They don't look at just going physically on. They don't look at everything else. If that smaller ball makes those passes zippier, makes the game slightly faster and more excited and more suited to the female body, which is different to the male body, then I'm all up for it.
I think that's the entire argument, really, isn't it? Like, you've just summarised it in one sentence.
But I can see why these women have played it the whole time, who've got the whole... We want to be treated the same. We want the same voting rights. We want the same size ball. We want to be this. We want to be that. We want to be men, but we want a women's game. It's
the
like,
one thing as well,
get it.
Gabby Cantona, when she was in, was saying she's learnt to kick with a size 5.
That's the only caveat, isn't it? Like,
and, you know, hookers, the motor control, learning to throw the ball with a size 5.
Yeah.
There's going to have to be a bit of relearning, but the ball is the same weight, so it should carry the same way in the air. It won't be...
Well, no, it'll be lighter.
It's a lighter ball.
It's a lighter ball,
yeah. Yeah, they say it's a lighter ball, and because the size, it's slightly more aerodynamic as well, so it travels faster, and does that. And then, of course, and oh god, I did end up on X, didn't I, with exact argument. And they're going
deep.
Well, I watched the game, and all those knock-ons and things that didn't really happen were all down to the size of the ball. Well, it doesn't matter, but if it's going to be better with it, and it's going to be a more of a spectacle because of it, because that suits the women's game, then why not play with it?
Okay.
I think that's a decent argument. You've got to try it. They're trialling it at the moment in some of the competitions.
In the world of mansplaining, it's difficult for Ian and I to have much of an opinion on this one. I think this needs to be led by the women that play.
No, I think you can have an opinion on it because...
I've got an opinion on it, I've told you.
Yeah, no, exactly.
But I'm ready to be told by the people on X later that jump on, that listen and go, you're wrong. I'll go, that's fine.
Okay, well, if you have any thoughts on this, brad@radiox.co.uk, email the Rugby Guard and you can join on the debate.
Ian Dunstan or at CC Bentos or at Sarah Cox Ref.
No, don't CC me in this. This is your two's argument.
Not at Sarah. At Sarah Cox Ref is not her Twitter handle. I take that back.
No, definitely. Don't go to Twitter and search for at Sarah Cox Ref because you won't get a reply.
You won't find her.
Well, to be honest, the amount of messages she gets with her tens of thousands of followers.
Well, no, I don't actually.
I saw you this week. Were you this week?
Where was I this week?
No, where are you this week?
Right, okay, this is a weird question in the world of rugby. Is that this weekend just
this
gone,
week,
or the weekend?
Coming up.
I'm running touch for Exeter Bath.
I saw that.
You did see that, yes.
What? You've got the...
North.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I put it on the pod WhatsApp group, a screenshot.
It was on X. Oh, right. Him perusing.
Who's the referee?
Adam Leal.
Yeah, and you're on one side and...
Jonathan Healy is on the other.
And David Rose on TMO.
Oh,
correct.
Dream team.
Why do you memorise that?
Because he's a memory for things like that. I'm gonna look up Rosie and try and buy him a pint on Saturday.
Oh yeah, where are you? You're in hospitality, no doubt.
I'm up in Chief Suite, and I'm going to do a turn because we're pushing the end of season dinner. Which, incidentally, if anybody wants to go on the 10th of May, Exeter Chiefs end of season dinner, 1-11 MC. Come along. Just email Tony at TonyPercival@exeterchiefs.co.uk.
That'll do it. Yeah. If you want a classic, Chris, last week, we were up there last week, I was sponsored by Guinness, so it was normal word salad, but Chris was there, he's like, no, don't take me into the box and let me talk to people. No, don't, no, please don't. Oh, go on then.
Classic Bentley.
Classic Bentley. Stop it, no.
I'm so embarrassed.
Don't make me go in and roll up my sleeve and show the scars where I've ruptured my bicep. Yeah. I don't want to be macho, no, please.
Luckily,
please
don't make me tell them I used to play for Exeter Chiefs.
Luckily, there was only time for three boxes out of the 30-odd that are there. So,
incidentally, I did a quiz last night for Mitch and Moore's. Two teams were drawing at the end, and the tiebreaker...
You did a game show, I thought.
Yeah, game show, got it here. Game show, and the tiebreaker question, how many league games did I have for the club? And one of the teams guessed it directly on the button.
97.
Oh, wow.
98 league games.
European... Did you? Why didn't you last two more?
Because Rob wouldn't give them to him, because Bentley really annoyed him, because he used to hang around outside Rob's office going, Rob, every time Rob went out.
There was a game at Newcastle Falcons. I'm not bitter about this at all.
Which is why you've not got a cup. You've not got a Centurion cup.
There was a game at Newcastle Falcons, and honestly, we did. Newcastle did like a 50-22. It was a huge kick. And
there were no 50-22s in those days.
It was like a, was the clue, Sarah. It was like a 50-22. And everybody ran to the line out, and Ali Muldowney, he dragged himself. He was goosed, and I was on the touchline warming up, looking up at the crowd. My whole family were there because my uncle was a big legend at West Hartlepool. And I was like, come on. And Rob didn't put me on. And Tom Hayes even went out of word and said, you should put Chris on then. So I should have got 99, definitely. And I think there was one at Rotherham where I didn't get on as well. But they don't count European Challenge Cup. They only count the
Champions
Cup.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, I didn't quite make it. I'm not bitter. I act up because everyone thinks it's funny. I'm genuinely not bitter.
You genuinely are.
I'm not. I've got more games at Oral than I have Exeter.
You would love to have had it, though, but it didn't.
Oh, God, yeah, it would have been lovely, but truth be told, I'd be insufferable. So
You're insufferable
my
now.
My house would just be full of mugs with me all over. Would you like a cup of tea?
Oh, yeah, out of your Chris Bentley one, yeah. Oh, can you imagine, yeah.
So, yes, I can imagine
so
that.
So technically, Rob Baxter did the world a good service not putting me on when we're making Ali run harder.
Yeah. When we're doing drinking things up there, if you get a Neil Clark who's squealer, you get a squealer cup, you have to chin your pint. Imagine if it was Bentley.
Does he know that you do that?
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Mm. Are you sure?
Yeah, Neil loves it.
Yeah. Oh, right, okay.
Of course he does.
Right.
I saw him in the gym the other day, actually.
Yeah, good old squealer.
Mm. Okay, so moving to In the Bin, the World Club Challenge. We sort of dressed on it last week, but I just wanted to address it again this week. That everyone's aware of this one. Every 4 years, they're going to stop at the round of 16 for the European Challenge Cup and the final eight, rather than play quarterfinals, we'll play eight more teams from the Southern Hemisphere.
And it's just a way to confuse everything even more.
No, that's completely missed me by. Where did that come from? No.
Yeah.
So what's been said now is every 4 years, exactly what I just said, basically, the rather than play quarterfinals, the top eight will then play against six from the Super Rugby and two invited teams, whether that be Japanese or American, and they'll play...
Oh, talking of American, the summer internationals got announced. Have you seen Scotland's?
No.
All South American and American.
So what, Uruguay, Chile...
Canada, North American. Canada, USA, Chile, Uruguay...
Is it Scotland men or women?
Men.
Right, okay.
Have you not seen that?
No.
Oh, right.
They've got a really nice American tour.
Yes.
Cool.
Oh, sorry. That had more poignance in my head. Sorry. Move on.
You played in Argentina, didn't you?
I played under
England counties.
England under 21s in Argentina and England counties in Argentina and Uruguay. We played a test match against Uruguay.
And I remember Rob going over there with the full England side coaching, didn't he? Once.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did that tour to Argentina, didn't he? It's great. Mate, Argentina's ace. I still call my dad Fatterman. because we had Dave Flatman in our team and all the games were on the Argentinian television. He's going, David Flatman. So I came home and called my dad Flatman because my dad is fat.
Sorry, listeners. I started something there with a really poor point.
Argentinian commentary is amazing, though.
But now we digress.
I see Flatman every now and then. And we remember that tour where I didn't do too well and he was the big Chief Kahuna. But every time I see him, David Flatman. It makes me laugh. And then the other one used to play for Plymouth Albion, Martin Schusterman.
You remember the noise for people who were like, when you used to dial up to the internet and it would make that squealing, noise that go up and down like that. That's pretty much what I've just been hearing for the last few minutes. Dial up.
All right, sorry.
Handshake.
All right, so the World Cup Challenge, really bad. Rugby Union still trying to find its identity, still trying to do something for the money men by putting the top teams against each other. For mine, very similar to the World Football thing, the World Super League, they tried to get Real Madrid and all that breakaway. It's rarefied air. They're trying to create even greater prestige games. What they don't realise is the vast majority of people aren't going to be involved in them, and it's just not going
to
help.
I didn't even know about it, to be quite honest with you. I think I've been living under a rock for the last couple of weeks because I have no idea what's going on in rugby.
I know you've been training loads because you know you're going to be running up and down that line at Sandy Park right in front of the of the East Grandstand where they're quite close to you and they're going to be screaming at you, get on, Coxie Bird!
No, are going to be screaming at me.
I'll be honest with you, I learnt my lesson with Sarah Cox. Do not throw banter at Coxie when she's on the officials.
Yeah, she's had too much caffeine.
Because you will get a chopped down like a log.
Chopped. I need to find my flag, actually.
That's the point. Do you actually have to bring your own flag? They're not at the grounds?
No.
See, this is one of my biggest bugbears with rugby union. This is across the board with rugby union. If you play in a league, you should say to the people in your league, right, this is the equipment we need for a match day. And if all the clubs agree on what's needed, then you have a list of kit that you hold at your club so you don't have to take it to the
Someone
clubs.
Someone would nick it. Someone would lose it. Someone would drop it.
Tackle bags, referees, flags, so on and so forth. It should just be you turn up, all the clubs have the agreed kit that you need to have so that both teams can prepare, and then you crack on and do it. And I can't understand why everyone has to bring their own stuff. It seems ridiculous.
Because they like to do it. Have you got an aluminium pole on your flag?
No, plastic.
It's plastic. Right, okay.
They cost £100 per flag.
Are they made by Gilbert?
Tassett, which does all the golf. So you know you got we're going into flags now.
Welcome to Cox flag special.
So you've got Tassett flags, Acme whistles.
Yeah, Acme. There's no other whistle than
an Acme Thunderer.
Well, I've got an Acme Thunder because when you qualify, you get one with RFU on it. But I always thought Acme was just on Roadrunner. I only realised the day I did my referee course that Acme made whistles and the Thunderer was the whistle. I know.
It is the whistle. It's a bit like balls that Gilbert really is the ball.
And Tassimo are the people that make flags.
Tassett.
So do you? I'm assuming
spins
you get,
in the wind.
How often do you get your how often do you get your Tassett flags?
I've got to keep it forever unless I lose it. And if you lose it, there's big trouble.
Wow. So
really big trouble.
Oh, so you were given it. You didn't have to buy your own flag.
No. Oh, okay. So you get given it at the start of when you get into the competition, mm-hmm. and you only get given a new one if the branding changes.
Right.
So Gallagher changed their logo, so you get a new flag.
And your old one?
Army old ones at home.
Is it?
If somebody wants it.
Spare flags. Stick it in a box. That'd be quite good.
Do you know the one that I really like is the LGBTQ flag with the pride flag that is on there. It's the actual pride flag. It looks really cool.
Have you got one?
Yeah, I have, yeah. That's the boring story of
jersey
flags.
Presentations? Do you have like an old ref at the front of the room? Right, come and get your flags.
No.
And everyone
no, that's ties. Right. They still do ties.
Nothing wrong with ties.
There is everything wrong with ties.
No, you keep me in ties.
Actually, Nigel Harris, who passed away a while ago now, was an old, one of the original sort of old gentlemen of Exeter Rugby Club, and his flag is on a frame on the wall in the lounge there.
Yeah.
As a really nice thing to remember those, you know, those people by that were there, so.
Yeah. That's the story of the flags.
Tassett, the flag.
It spins in the wind, so it's got this mechanism on it that when you stick it up, rather than it getting tangled on the pole, it's got a nifty little thing that spins. So no matter how the wind is going, the flag will just continue to spin around, never get tangled on the pole.
So
these things get overlooked in other competitions.
So Dave the flag man, these flags are actually like 15 quid, but he's trying to get nick them from referees and flog them back to them for £100 a time. I bet you that's what it is. God, a flag for £100.
That's what they are to be. The pole. The pole is an ergonomic pole as well, so he's got an actual... like those ergonomic mice that you get that
this
fit your hand.
One of the best podcasts I've ever been involved in.
If you want to know more about this, you can find at Sarah Cox Raff
right.
on X.
I think the only thing is, Chiefs are playing Bath this weekend, is high on my agenda, and obviously South Molton with old Elizabethans in Bristol. They're the two games I'm excited about. And I think that Chiefs are going to edge Bath narrowly in a very tough encounter. And I really hope South Molton win. My team talk to the guys on Thursday. Tomorrow is going to be, lads, I need you to win because I really want to go on a bus trip.
What a better reason for it. And getting kit when you're there next time so you can shower after with them.
Oh, my God, yeah. Showering with the boys, that'd be ace.
Right, we're not getting into this.
No. Now, Sarah, any other business from yourself?
Nope, no. Definitely not.
Any other business from me? No. The final word of this podcast goes to Mr. Ian Dunstan while we're listening on Devon's Radio X.
So thanks, everyone. It's been an emotional week. You're going to miss me next week, so the handbrake is in full charge. I'm not here. I'm in Egypt on holiday. Have a wonderful week.
We had to get that in your caravan.
Two locks and a cox.
From Devon's Radio X. With Exeter Chiefs.
The final game of the season is almost here. Exeter Chiefs take on Harlequins on Saturday, May the 11th. Book your tickets today at tickethub.exeterchiefs.co.uk.